Hosea chapter 4. Right? Done 2 and 3 last week. Hosea.
I thought he was out picking turnips.
No. No, he is trying to catch his wife if he can find her. Yeah. We're going to see tonight the Lord going to bring a charge against the people of Israel. And the charge as if they had illegally done something wrong. But he's referring it to their sin and wrong in their hearts and their lives and their disobedience and what he's dealing with here. So as we start this now for the rest of this chapter, we're going to deal with Israel's sinfulness and God's wayward people, how they got so far away from the Lord and their hearts and lives, and using the example here of a harlot or a prostitute and their unfaithfulness to serve the Lord. And I just see so much of America in our studies here in Hosea. It said, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring." We would go to the courthouse and we'd go to the proper police, justice court, or one of the higher courts across the street, and whatever our need was, we would file a charge against someone that had done us wrong or whatever. That's what the Lord's doing. He's bringing a charge against the people. He said, "Against you who live in the land, there's no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." And what's the first thing the preacher said? The president said today about Charlie being shot. He lived to get to the hospital, and at the time he made his statement. How do you say his last name? Mulatto, whatever her name is. And I are praying for Charlie. After all the hoopla about the kids getting to him, everybody jumped, didn't praise him, none. He come right back. Said, "We're praying." And I don't know what people's thinking when they go against everything that's due. He said, "There's only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed." Sound familiar to you? What are we having to do now? Send special forces from guards and all into different cities because the violence is so out of hand, and trying to reel them in and bloodshed and stuff. And I don't know. Said, "Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying." God is fixing to spill trouble on them because of their disobedience and how far away from him they have gotten. He said, "The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another. For your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." And So Hosea is leveling his charges against all the religious leaders. We are subject to God's wrath just like anyone else. We're not exempt. And our hearts and our lives and what's taking place there and this, we have nobody. Remember Jeroboam? And he melted down all the gold and stuff and shaped them and formed them into two caves for him to worship and stuff. And he appointed his own priest, and he was a terrible, terrible leader. And what was taking place here? And he said, my people are destroyed from lack of what? This church house ought to be full tonight of people wanting to know more of what God's word says. But look, you know, because you have rejected knowledge, I also am going to reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more the priests increase, the more they sinned against me. They exchange their glory for something disgraceful. They fed on the sins of my people and relished their wickedness. And so in essence, what God's telling Hosea to accuse the religious leaders here of is keeping the people from knowing who God was. And they were destroyed. He was going to destroy them for lack of knowledge. And I hope and pray that I would never be guilty of not keeping God's word in a simple enough phase that people can understand what God's saying to us in our hearts and our lives and the things he's having. But because they rejected knowledge, because they refused, he said, you ignored the laws of your God, I'm going to ignore your children. The more the priests increase, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. They fed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it'll be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and will repay them for their deeds. Ain't nobody going to slip through the cracks, are they? What's God going to do? Going to hold us accountable, isn't it? They will eat, but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not increase. Because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, to old wine and new, which take away the understanding of my people. So their chief Canaanite gods was Baal and Asheroth. And, you know, they raised the Asheroth poles, and Baal, they thought he had the power of fertility, and therefore the crops and the farm and the livestock and stuff depended on the god of Baal, the god of Asheroth. So as they set about worshiping these things, 90% or better of what they're doing here is strictly contrary to what prophets of old have come, and like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and these others, Daniel's before Hosea here and stuff. People do what? Turn a deaf ear, don't they? care to listen in their hearts and their lives. And what they're doing, they consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. I thought about that stick of wood. I said, now, and but I was reading in my commentary and stuff, you know, and I've known several people that bought them a piece of land and wanted to build them a house, and move a mobile home in or whatever and stuff. Trouble finding water. And one of them older guy in particular, they always go get him. He'd cut him a stick and go around with that stick, and when it done certain things, you know, and pretty true results for a lot of people in that. And he said they are answered by a stick of wood. Spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They're unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills, under oaks, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. And said, therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution, and your daughter-in-laws to adultery. And so God allows this to take place because they did so much of this in their hearts and their lives, and what they were doing and their hearts and their lives. You think it's terrible what Gomer had done? See your own daughters, your daughter-in-laws. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughter-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice for shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. You hear what he said? A people without understanding will come to ruin, you know? And how true that is, you know, that they just can't get it right till they understand why God's punishing these folks and giving the charge of what's about to take place with them. Verse 15 says, though you commit adultery, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not swear. Do not go to Beth Aven, and do not swear. Surely as the Lord lives, the Israelites are stubborn like a stubborn heifer. How then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in a meadow? And any of you ever had any experience with cattle, there's always a smart aleck in the bunch that's going to jump the fence, tear the gate down. That's little things they do. They can destroy. They don't want to go to town. They just happy right out there in the field where they at. And he said, the Israelites are stubborn. They're stubborn as a heifer. How then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in a meadow? You know, I've had them, and I can just walk out to the gate. They throw the head off and head to the woods. You know, they knew trouble was on the way if I could get him in that pen, you know. He wouldn't stay in with me very long. Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Ephraim was out of that. That's just another name for Israel. And another name for the northern kingdom. And Ephraim got the crown here because he was out of the largest of the 10 tribes. And so Southern Kingdom, those two, Judah, same thing, stronger, more populated than the other tribe. And so Ephraim got the name, but they all come down to being Israel, children of Israel, and their hearts and their lives. So Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifice will bring them shame. One day the party's going to be over it. And what he was saying here, their drink glasses is going to be empty, and they're going to continue in their sinful ways and their prostitution, and the dirtier, the sorrier, the better they liked it. And he said, but one of these days, a whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifice will bring them shame. And so the whirlwind that he's talking about there that's going to take them away is going to be the Assyrian army. And about 20 years from the time that Hosea was given this charge to the Israelites here and their sinfulness and stuff, God was already preparing and already knew that he's going to use a whirlwind. And what do we consider a whirlwind? Tornado? Yeah. Souped up tornadoes or hurricane, ain't it? And so let's see what he says now in 25, in verse 5. Chapter 5, I'll get it right in a minute. Hear this, you priest. Pay attention, you Israelites. Listen, O royal house. This judgment is against you. You have been a snare at Mizpah and a net spread out on Tamar. So Mizpah and Tamar were the sites where a lot of the false worship was taking place here in Baal country, the god of Baal. And people were encouraged to come and sit in the presence of the god of Baal. And just think about that and what they're doing here. And what do you think God thinks about that? About like he did Nebuchadnezzar when he took the golden cup out of Jerusalem, took it and replaced his cup with God's cup. Didn't go over well, did it? God didn't forget it either. And their hearts and their lives. The rebels are deep in slaughter. I will discipline all of them. I know all about Ephraim. Israel is not hidden from me. Ephraim, you have now turned to prostitution, and Israel is corrupt. The one leader that could have kept them on the right path fell prey to what? Prostitution. And remember, a lot of this is dealing with sexual prostitution, but a large portion of what he's dealing with them about also has to deal with spiritual prostitution and how that spiritually they had gotten so far away from the God that loved him. And things that they are doing in their hearts and their lives, and where they go from there, and their lives, and what's happening. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their gods. A spirit of prostitution is in their hearts. They do not acknowledge the Lord. Israel's arrogance testifies against them. The Israelites, even Ephraim, stumbled in their sin. Judah also stumbled with them. The northern and the southern kingdom, that's all 12 tribes of them. One's as guilty as the other. When they go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, they'll not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. What have I always told you as your pastor? Where's the most dangerous place in all the world to be?
Outside the will of God.
Out of the will of God. Boy, this crew has really messed it up, hasn't it? But you look at America as a whole, you know? We are a sheltered little group down here in the South, you know, in comparison with what's happening in these other places round about them. They are unfaithful to the Lord. They give birth to illegitimate children. Now their new moon festivals will devour them and their fields. And, you know, persistent sins over and over and over and over and over. As every time that sin reoccurs and reoccurs, it's doing nothing but hardening the heart of that individual to keep them away from. And they just continue to deliberately choose to reject God and have nothing to do with him and not do for him in their hearts and their lives. And so we have to be careful. And how do a lot of people pass it off? Well, I just got in a rut, you know. I ain't got no excuse. I just got myself in a rut. I just ain't having time. Do what I need to be doing in their hearts and their lives. Verse 8 says, sound the trumpet in Gibeon, the horn in Ramah. Both of those were Israelite cities, and they were in close proximity to Jerusalem there. And Hosea was just prophesying that he would sound the alarm of the day of judgment that was coming upon them and their hearts and their lives. And these who cheat and steal and rob and murder and all the things he's talked about. And raise the battle cry in Beth Gilead. And Beth Gilead just means, the name there means that it is a place of wickedness and their hearts and their lives. Among the tribes of Israel, I proclaim what is certain. Judah's leaders are like those who move boundary stones. And I got a new neighbor last little while. And he moved in and he went to clearing and doing and going to build him three of these little tiny houses for rentals and stuff and things. And wasn't what I was desiring for a neighbor, but it's his property. He can do with it as he sees fit, but he's clearing it up and stuff. And the neighbor behind him, you know, he got over the line. And I don't know if they had words or what, but I just told him where my corner was, And I dug down and around that big old Chris old bones that I had there. There was a marker that my Uncle Bill Havard had put down years and years and years ago. And stuff and things. A day or two, I seen Gerald Moody and them out there resurveying. New stakes went down, right down through there, you know, and stuff and everything. So I'll stay on my side of the fence. I ain't got no dog in that fight. I knew where my corner was, and I protected it all these years. But, you know, I never realized that it meant that much to God. But what are you doing? He said here, Judah's leaders are like those who move boundary stones. You know, cheating. You know, I've heard all kind of stories in my 42 years of supervising. People want to drag me into their arguments and stuff, but the biggest one that's ever been was right around the curve here with Bruner Bexley and J.C. Howe. And so I was running for supervisor, and I got jury duty. So I went around there, and Rudolph said, he is my supervisor with Coca-Cola. He said, you got to go around there and tell Darwin I said. I thought, yeah, I bet that'll go over big. And you got to get on this truck. You got to work. So I went around there, and I did. I pled my case with Wilbur Ward and tried, and he said, you got to go in there, Larry. So I went in there, and I went through the process. You do this, and you do this, and they eliminated this, eliminated that. Got down to it, you know, and it wasn't but about 12, 15 of us that looked to me like left, you know. I knew I was in trouble, you know. And Judge Maple said, has anybody got anything you want to say? I raised my hand. He said, young man, what can I do for you? I said, can I come up there? He said, you mean you want to approach the bench? I said, yeah, I want to come talk to you. He said, all right, come on up here. I went up there, and here come Wilbur Ward on one side and somebody else on the other. I forgot who it was. I said, Judge, I'm Larry Havard. I'm running for supervisor. And all this is right in the center of, oh, my goodness, son. He said, I didn't know who you was. I forgot about, you know, I didn't recognize. He said, get out of here and go. But I was about to get in the hornet's nest, you know, between, you know, they'd done had, and that lighted post stood as being the, and it's in the record room at the courthouse to this very day with the barbed wire wrapped around it and the whole thing back there in the record room, you know. And it's got a perpetual home. It'll be there forever because of that case, you know. And I almost got caught up in it. Yeah. Ephraim is oppressed. No, let's back up. He said, I'll pour out my wrath on them like a flood of water. Ephraim is oppressed, trampled in judgment, intent on pursuing idols. I am like a moth to Ephraim, like a rot to the people of Judah. They don't care a thing in the world about Hosea, what the word's telling God's telling him to tell them, you know. Said, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his sores, then Ephraim turned to the Assyrian and sent to the great king for help. But he's not able to cure you. He's not able to heal your sores. For I'll be like a lion to Ephraim, like a great lion to Judah. I will tear them to pieces and go away. I'll carry them off with no one to rescue them. Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt. And they will seek my face in their misery, and they will earnestly seek me. When do we want to deal with the Lord? When we're in a mess, don't trouble everywhere. Fears and wrongs in our hearts and our lives. What do y'all think? Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you missed that about God telling Hosea to go find him a wife. And he chose Gomer for a prostitute. He married her, and then she went astray. You can catch up pretty easy. Now, you hear me tell you all the time that we're just modern-day Israelites. Right? But I see as a whole the 12 tribes or the people of God, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter, those who trust him as Lord and Savior. But for the most part, what does it see? You know? The Israelite or the Jew or the Gentile getting farther and farther away. Brother Walter gave us some statistics last night that just are disgraceful, really, you know. The number of baptisms for Mississippi and then the number for the Southern Baptist Convention, all of our churches. The decline, how many Southern Baptist churches closed last year? 3,200 and something, wasn't it? I believe it closed. Shut the doors. Two, sadly, was ours. I don't know. I don't like what I see in the direction that the world's taking. But
I don't think any of us do.
No. Awesome, awesome thing. Any comment, any question, any thought? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. You do well. Your heart and your life. Not, Brian, you close us with prayer.